What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I'm joined with Maxine's first runner-up, Andrea Feinbier. Andrea, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to spend a little bit of time chatting with you about your experiences with the challenge. But Andrea, you know, just a few days ago, you found out that not only you were in the top 10 of the Maxine Challenge, that you came second place in the challenge. How has the past couple of days been for you?
Well, I'm still on a bit of a high. I still can't believe it, to be honest. Yeah, I just, you know, it was such a good experience. And to find out that I came second was just incredible. Not in my wildest dreams. That's not why I did the challenge. You know, to place top 50, I was very happy with that. So to realize, yeah, top 10 and then second was just, yeah, blown away. It was awesome.
Well, look, you should be so proud of the amazing result that you've achieved. I'm sure that you've inspired so many people in your circles and also within our online communities to live a healthier life. So for that, I thank you. Now, Andrea, would you like to start by telling us a little bit about yourself, maybe where you're from and what you do for work? And I guess, who is Andrea?
Well, I'm 43 years old. I'm originally from Canada. I moved to Australia about 14 years ago. I lived in a rural central west of New South Wales called Dubbo for a few years. And then I've been in Sydney for the past 11 years since then. For work, I'm a sports chiropractor, and I actually work inside a Fitness First, which is handy for training. But yeah, that's really me. I, for kind of fun. I still do sport. I still row competitively. I've done so for 28 years now. So that's kind of, yeah, the backbone of what I do and yeah, and who I am.
Wow. So it sounds like a very sport orientated background, working with bodies and in the fitness space, working at Fitness First. Is that right?
Definitely. I love it. I love the human body and what it does.
Look, Andrea, I guess my first question here is all about why? So, you know, coming from a fit and health background, why did you choose to start the Maxine's Challenge?
Well, the last couple of years has been pretty rough, to be honest. Not only COVID, but I had a sudden breakdown of my marriage. So that's been really hard, both mentally and physically in a way, because I really lost my mojo with training and nutrition. So even though I have been extremely active my whole life, I really kind of was in a massive rut, basically. And, you know, I was just sick of feeling, yeah, not good. And I knew I had to do something. It was time. So actually one of the mums from school mentioned the challenge to me and she was considering doing it. And then I Googled it and looked it up and I was like, oh, that's perfect for me. I'm definitely doing it. So myself and two other school mums ended up doing the 12 weeks. And yeah, it was fabulous to do it with two other people as well. So constant motivation and just seeing their results as time went on. But yeah, the 12 weeks passed really quick, to be honest. And yeah, it was just a great experience. It was easy to follow. It was just, everything's nicely laid out. No guesswork. Just had to adhere to it and be consistent. And the results spoke for themselves.
Yeah. Look, let's unpack that a little bit. So I guess when you say that, you know, you went through these big changes in your life and, you know, some things might have started to deteriorate, was there a certain moment in time where you kind of like hit that switch where you were like, okay, I need to do something? Or was it a little bit of a build up? Or was it simply that conversation that you had with your friend? Was there like a single moment or was it just the conversation? Maybe was it like a look in the mirror and you go, yep, it's time to do something? Like, what was that build up like?
Well, the build up was over probably about 3 months, I guess. So just, you know, I knew because I work in a gym and I like literally the weight room is just outside my door there, but I just couldn't get my head around training. I just was just training once a week and that was as much as I could muster. And I knew that wasn't right. And I knew that wasn't me. And, you know, I started to put on weight and I just felt terrible. And over a period of time, I was like, okay, I really need to do something about this, you know, but what I need a kick in the pants to actually get myself there. I mean, I work in the gym, like I said, so it's not that the gym was a barrier for me. I think the barrier for me was just more the headspace. Knowing that, yeah, I need to do something. And then eventually when my friend mentioned the challenge and other friends had done similar challenges, but only 6 weeks, But I thought 12 weeks would be, you know, really what I needed. I think that's a really good amount of time to get those lasting results and visible results. So that's why I, thought the Maxine's challenge would be the one for me. And yeah, I went for it and really glad I did. I was a bit nervous at first because I didn't know, I don't like to fail. So I thought, oh, 12 weeks is a long time, but yeah, can I do this? And then I did. And I feel so much better physically and emotionally for doing that. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I find it so fascinating speaking to people in the challenge, outside of the challenge. And when we talk about fitness and health, I'm so confident that people know what they should be doing. People know that, you know, what foods they should be eating. They know that they should be doing exercise. And maybe people like you and I, you know, we might know a few things a little bit extra. Like we know how the body moves. We know how good resistance training is for the body. We know how to help people who are injured and all these good things. But when it comes down to it, we know all these things, but doing it is a completely different conversation, right? And, you know, we get into these ruts where we might train once a week. We might start seeing some changes in the other direction in our body just because we simply can't be bothered. We're not in the right headspace that you suggested. And it sounded like this 12-week challenge gave you a little bit of structure in your life. Maybe you had a good support network with the other mums that you trained with. But could you speak a little bit about how you might have changed your mindset or changed your self-talk and maybe worked on your compliance to get this transformation that you did in the challenge?
Well, for me, because it was so well laid out, like I knew there was no guesswork. So for me, that was a big part of being able to be compliant because it is all there. You really have no excuse not to comply with that. Yeah, you can tweak your exercises and things like that. So that even makes it even easier to comply because you can pick exercises that are more suitable for you or your, you know, the training environment that you're in. For me, I think at the beginning, I was kind of like a bull out of the gates. So I was really super keen because I felt like I really need to do this, which probably actually set me back slightly. To be honest, by the end of week three, I was starting to feel burnt out because the exercises I chose were all compound exercises. And it was just from training from once a week to five times a week. That was, and as a health professional, I know that's, you know, probably not the best idea, but I didn't ease into it like I should have. But with my training background, I thought, okay, I can do this and I'll listen to my body and I'll be okay. But by week three, I definitely needed a bit of a break. And consequently, it was school holidays, the week number four. So I couldn't train as much as I wanted. We were on the road, so I had to just kind of do body weight things. So, you know, it gave me a week to kind of recover. And then by the end of week four, I was ready to roll again. So my compliance, you know, again, even though I was feeling a bit down week three because I was just overdoing it, I was ready to go again by week five, which really helped, you know, me. So I listened to my body when I felt like, okay, I'm a bit too keen and going a bit too hard, listen to my body, regrouped, and yeah, it really helped tons. And with the food, I find the mindset with the food is really, really important. I think it's 100% mindset with the food. Yeah. I know what to eat. Social situations, obviously, I found tough, as would most people. I think I found that I would eat my meal before I went out, which really helped, you know, curb my cravings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in drinking alcohol for me is something I do, like most people. And so just having like, you know, soda and lime and things like that really helped as well. So I felt like I was still kind of participating. But yeah, just changing things for, you know, the good of me and my results in the challenge. So yeah, there's definitely things I had to do to tweak to comply. But I think I did, yeah, pretty good doing that. But yeah, it's such a mindset, especially with the food. Yeah, 100% mindset. But, you know, it's a lot of positive self-talk you have to do and think, okay, well, this is what I'm going to have now and I'm going to like this and this is great. And I love healthy food anyways, but it's just the chocolate here or there or the glass of wine here or there that really just kind of over time changes things a bit the other direction, the direction I don't really want to go.
Well, can you speak a little bit about some of the maybe social situations that you were in throughout the challenge. And you kind of mentioned that maybe you went out a couple of times, maybe you had a drink socially, or even had like the soda water with lime to try to be social while still having a drink. Can you speak a little bit about some other strategies that you might have used to still be social while trying to complete the challenge and being compliant to the goals that you wanted to achieve?
Yeah, well, like going out for coffee with people, you know, instead of having a big muffin, I'd have a long black instead of, you know, a big muffin and a big milky coffee or a chai latte or things like that, you know. So just making better choices, but still being able to be social. I mean, I don't need a big breakfast. I can have, you know, scrambled eggs and a bit of toast. You know, it doesn't have to be indulgent all the time. Those, you appreciate the little indulgences, like just going out for breakfast. And, you know, for me, I've always eaten a lot of food. I'm a big eater. So, you know, for me, going out to eat is basically stuffing my face constantly. Whereas I've kind of learned not to do that. And now I kind of feel sick post-challenge if I do eat ridiculous amounts of food. Like, I do like to eat still, but yeah, post-challenge, it's affected me in a good way that I don't want to eat everything just because it's in front of me. So it's changed my mindset that way as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, other social situations, just going out for a walk with friends, like doing different things that are even exercise focused, training with friends. After rowing training in the mornings, we usually have, there's like a cake buffet. So everybody has a cup of tea and people bring cake. It's just the thing that we do because we train pretty hard. It's an hour and a half session, but you know, just change it. Okay, I'll just have a tea and I'll have a banana. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of thing. You know, so I'm not missing out. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's short-term little sacrifices we make for such a big result, you know. It just adds up over time. You're not going to see that straight away. And you're probably going to think, you know, at the beginning, oh, I'm missing out on this, I'm missing out on that. But those little decisions that you make, make a huge difference at the end. And yeah, it's so worth it. Definitely. Yeah,
I love that you said that about social situations, I guess, because that's a very common apprehension about, you know, making this lifestyle change, I guess, to complete the challenge. And some people want to go really bulls out of the gate, like you said, where they want to cut out everything completely. And that's like, that's it. I don't go out anymore. I don't see my friends. I don't go out to dinners. Don't invite me to your house for lunch. Like, I don't do those things anymore because I'm doing this challenge, right? And sure, that works out really well because, you know, we don't have those situations. But you can only do that for so long until you find yourself at that family gathering or you find yourself out with friends and you go, oh, there's a muffin in front of me now. Do I take a bite? Right. And the strategy that you took where you allowed yourself to still be social, you allowed yourself to go out with friends and, you know, hang out with your friends from rowing and people that you might work with around in the gym and your friends and stuff like that. Like, you integrated that as part of your life. Right. And that's such a powerful thing to do. And I'm sure this is things that you promote to, you know, your patients and clients in your clinic. But like, these things are so powerful for long-term change because then you can still enjoy all the good things out of life. Sure, you have some little bit of self-control, a little bit of discipline. You know, maybe you have just a little bite of a cake, but not the whole piece. Or you might have a little bit of chocolate, but not the whole lot. And then over time, it becomes your new normal where you're not going to go out and gorge yourself, right? You go out and you say, hey, I'm just going to have some scrambled eggs and toast because that's going to be okay for me. I'm going to be satisfied with that. I don't need to indulge myself. So, you know, if you're listening to this and you're a little bit apprehensive about joining the challenge, it doesn't need to be a super drastic lifestyle change. It can just be those really small things that make the huge, massive change long-term. And Andrea is an example of that there. So I love that answer. Thank you.
One thing too, like, I just wanted to say is something that was a game changer for me and something that I realized is just to be prepared all the time. So even though if I thought I'd be home for lunch on a certain day, I'd still pack my lunch and bring it to work because something would come up or I'd have to do the shopping or I'd have to run some errands and then I couldn't get home for lunch. So then if I didn't have my lunch with me, I'd end up eating something else. Like, might not be, you know, still might be a reasonable choice, but it's not as good as the choice that I would have made for myself. You know what I mean? So yeah, something that I think that everybody should realize is just being prepared, yes, in social situations, but just throughout the day, just to be prepared is probably the biggest thing that helped me. yeah, I can't stress that enough. Just being prepared, mentally being prepared, and being prepared physically with all the food that you need for the day that you know you're taking care of. And there's really no excuse not to adhere to the diet portion of the challenge. Yeah.
I agree. Being prepared is so important. And, you know, you really got to be like Scar from The Lion King and be prepared, right?
Totally.
Your hyenas marching around, right? Yeah, be prepared.
Look,
Andrea, next I want to talk a little bit more about challenges. And you alluded to so many challenges that you had to overcome in the challenge. But could you speak a little bit about some other things that you might have faced and then had to overcome to complete the challenge and get this amazing result that you did?
Well, the big thing, I think, like I mentioned before, the going on holidays was the big one. You know, just being in a different environment where I can't prep my food, I don't have access to a gym. That was really tough. I found that was really tough mentally because I was really, really keen to do the 12 weeks properly and do it to the best of my ability. And, you know, for one of those weeks, I couldn't do that. So what I had to do was meal prep as much as I could for foods that I thought would keep over that week. And one of the stops that we made was at a friend's house. So then I would kind of meal prep some other things halfway through, which was good. And then we camped. So not much meal prepping there, but still like choosing, bring the packet of oats so I can make my breakfast, have boiled eggs already boiled, you know, things like that. So that was really important for me. And that was a really challenging thing. And then not to be at the gym. So during that time that we were camping and on the road, there's not much you could really do. I did body weight type exercises, which was great, but still not in my mind. It was not what I, you know, had planned. So trying to be that adaptable, and hikes and mountain biking was great, but my boy is 7 years old. So our mountain biking and hikes are not exactly taxing. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't call it a workout. So just trying to be active during that week that we were away and my routine was totally upside down was challenging. Social situations, like I mentioned before, yeah, they have been challenging, but then you kind of tweak them to suit your lifestyle and you know, suit your lifestyle, but not to alienate other people as well, because I think that's one thing. When people are on really strict challenges, they, like we were talking, they kind of push other people away or, you know, make people feel a bit uncomfortable sometimes. So just trying to integrate, you know, your life and your friend's life and your family's life into the challenge as well. Another thing I did find challenging was the fact that I don't have a big support network here. All my family is in Canada. So it's really just, you know, the two friends that I had doing the challenge were my support network. My 7-year-old son's not a great support, not really understanding, you know, what I'm trying to do. but no, it was good to have a couple of friends check in. And yeah, but it'd be great if, you know, if you had a big support network would definitely be helpful as well, for sure. And somebody that you could train with at the gym, that'd be, I think, would be beneficial for a lot of people.
Yeah. Andrea, it sounds like you've got quite an experience around health and fitness, you know, working in a gym, working as a sports chiro. And I guess my next question is all about learning something. So can you speak a little bit about maybe something that you've learned over your time doing the challenge? And that might be something formal, such as, you know, what is a protein, which you might know already, or something informal, like, you know, you could do something if you put your mind to it or something like that. So can you speak a little bit about something that you might have learned over the past 12 weeks?
Something I've learned was really to push myself a bit harder because the program was so laid out nicely. So it's no guesswork. You know, I really pushed myself in certain exercises. And, you know, like I said, I'm 43. I didn't think I'd be squatting heavier now than I was pre-pregnancy. And just another thing I learned, which I kind of knew already, but it kind of came to my attention, was the fact that just the other day I decided to try to do some chin-ups. And though through the 12 weeks, I haven't done any in my program, I knocked out 10 chin-ups. You know, so the carryover of the exercises really was incredible. And, you know, lunges and things like that. Like, I'm lunging like 50 kilos on my back, which I've never done before, you know. So it's really, it's impressed me mm-hmm. when I focused on a few exercises for those 12 weeks, how much my strength has increased way more than I thought that would ever happen at my age. Hands down, that was really, it really blew me away. So that's one thing I definitely learned, that the power of the body to adapt, and no matter what age you are, and if you're consistent and you follow a program, the results can be truly eye-opening and amazing. And, you know, I'm really excited the fact that, you know, I've started the program again, to be honest. So I've started the Maxine's program again at week one mm-hmm. a couple of weeks ago. So now I'm on week three. Mm-hmm. And, you know, already I'm seeing even better results with my strength. So it's awesome.
Awesome. So good. We're excited to see you do are we going to aim for 20 chin-ups, or are you going to try some weighted chin-ups? What's the plan?
I don't know. Well, my max that I've ever done was 12. So I definitely want to beat 12, and I think I'll be able to do that, because if I'm actually going to train some chin-ups, let's give it a go.
Yeah. we're going to have to send you like a weight belt, and we'll get some weights attached to you. Yeah. That's the next step. Andrea, from here, I wanted to talk about change. So can you speak a little bit about how maybe your life or your day-to-day life has changed over the past 12 weeks while you've been completing the challenge?
Yeah, sure. Well, my mood has definitely improved. I feel just a happier person. I feel that, like, I just feel better. Because I'm not drinking much alcohol at all, that's really change things for me as well. I think during COVID, a lot of people, you know, it's just become a bit of a habit. And for me, coming home and opening up a bottle of wine is extremely normal. But now I don't feel the need to do that. So that's really changed my life a little bit, to be honest. I'm sleeping so much better because of it as well. And I wake up feeling fabulous. Another thing too, again, with the social situations and alcohol, I found some great lines of non-alcoholic spirits, which I think, you know, a lot of people who are doing the challenge could benefit from as well, which are amazing, readily available at Dan Murphy's, and they're great.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, change. Yeah, that's interesting.
I like this. Yeah. I like this. We might get a range of mocktails going in the challenge, right?
Totally. But again, like, it's very social. You're having a cocktail or whatever, and I enjoy that when I go home now instead of a glass of wine, which is, it's a great alternative, I think, yeah. And tastes fabulous.
Yeah.
Other change, I feel like I look better. I feel like I'm more confident, not only with my training, but also just my confidence in knowing that I can adhere to something and be focused again, because my world's been a bit upside down the past couple of years. I feel really focused again. And, you know, to think to myself that, you know, 4 months ago, I was only training once a week. I cannot imagine that now. I've been training the 5 times a week with Maxine. Sometimes, a couple of times, I could only do the 4 times. But, you know, that's really changed me as well. Now I'd miss it like crazy if I, you know, wasn't doing my training sessions. And so with the food too, you know, I'm used to my breakfast now of 2 eggs, a serving of oatmeal and a banana. And that is my breakfast for, you know, forever, probably now. And same with my lunch. I love my lunch. I've been eating the same lunch for quite a while now. And, you know, I found something I really love, and that's my staple. And dinners change all the time. But, you know, I found a couple of things that I really like, and great combination, really fresh, beautiful food and tasty, and just make me feel really good and not bloated. And yeah, I feel really good, I must say.
So good to hear. Andrea, the final question here is about advice. So if someone came to you and they were maybe interested in getting fit and healthy, or are about to start the challenge themselves and they wanted your advice, what would you tell them?
I definitely tell them to go for it. You learn so much about yourself and your body doing this kind of thing. I would advise them, though, if they have like injuries and things, to probably get them looked at or sorted first, because the training load is relatively high. So if you're going from not much training to, you know, fairly high training load, that could be problematic. And if you come down with an injury, obviously it's going to be really challenging to kind of crawl back from that, say if you're only, you know, on week 3 or whatever. So to physically prepare for the challenge, but also mentally as well. I think just getting your head around the training and how you're going to fit everything into your day. I'm lucky I work at a gym, so I can scoot out in my lunchtime and have my training session. But for somebody who's a stay-at-home mom with four children, how are they going to fit it into their day? So planning really is, I think, a massive part before you take the challenge. Like, how are you actually going to execute this and execute it for the 12 weeks? And then obviously beyond the 12 weeks, which I think is super important, obviously. But yeah, just being able to plan, how are you going to fit in your day, get your head around the kind of the foods that you're going to eat and how you're going to deal with social situations and just things that come up. Yeah. How are you going to integrate it into your life? Because it is a lifestyle. It's just the beginning of your journey, the 12 weeks. But, you know, I'd say to any challenger, it's so well worth it. You'll learn so much about you. There's great support online if you have questions or concerns. And, you know, it's a great team atmosphere, and yeah, I'd highly recommend it. Definitely. Don't be scared. Just go for it.
I love it. That's quality advice. And I think you really hit the nail on the head. You know, we need to be prepared, and, you know, we need to consider that it's a lifestyle integration. And, you know, we look at different diets and different training plans, and some of them are really successful. Some of them might not be as great as others, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what you're following, as long as that you can integrate it into your life. And I think sometimes we have a very short-term mindset where we go, oh yeah, I'm just going to starve myself for 6 weeks and hope for the best, and that's all I'll ever have to do ever. But it's not really the case where we need to make exercise something that we do every day. We need to make, you know, enjoying good food and eating a salad and drinking water. We want these behaviors to become very, very much part of our day-to-day life, because it's an identity change and it's a lifestyle change. And you hit the nail on the head there, Andrea. So thank you so much. Now, I just want to take a moment to thank you so much for being part of the Challenge podcast and sharing your words of wisdom to everyone who's listening. You should be so proud of the amazing result that you achieved. And I'm sure that you've inspired so many people to live a healthier life. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me on. And like I said, I can't speak highly enough of the Maxine's challenge. It was great. And I can't wait to do it again.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.